talk a little Boston sports and, frankly, whatever else is on his mind. We welcome back to the show our friend Mike Violet. Mike, good afternoon.
Hi, Rich. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you today?
I am just fine, sir.
And I've wished you this over the social media world, but a happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you. 57 never felt and looked so good.
It's remarkable. I'm shocked. I look at pictures and you say the guy can't be more than 36, 37 years old.
My status with my girlfriend, who refers to me as a silverback gorilla, I think I look all, I've earned all 57, Rich. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, radio will do that to you. You know, well, look, you've seen guys, you've worked in radio for a long time. You know what radio does to people. I think you've weathered it quite well when you look at some of the other characters out there.
Well, I've managed to not get either addicted to drugs or alcohol, so I consider that a plus.
Yeah, I mean, that puts you in pretty select company right there. I can't believe they let you work in radio. You know, don't you have to have one of those or some kind of mental health issue?
Well, I think I possess the character trait that all of us who work in radio do, is that I love free food.
Ah, there you go. Well, we just went through that here. We got free food and free wine this last hour. And so
I heard.
We're counting on you to provide free wisdom for us.
Well, you may have to look a little farther than me, but I'll do what I can for you, Rich. I'll give you what I got.
That's the best there is. Let's talk a little Red Sox here. In your travels today, this past week, have you found anybody out there that could swing a bat, that could step into this Red Sox lineup?
Well, boy, it's amazing, isn't it? We all knew David Ortiz retiring was going to impact this lineup some. But I didn't think it was going to have quite the impact it has. And you know, you take Ortiz out of that lineup and you get, 36 RBIs from DH now. You get nothing out of third base. You're getting what you all – I mean, Mitch Moreland, he is what we thought he was, which is a 250 hitter who's very streaky, who strikes up probably more than we'd like. And you're getting Mookie Betts, who's hitting, 50 points less than he hit last year.
Mm.
You know, Xander Bogaerts appears to be banged up. They took him out of the lineup tonight, I saw. You know, you can't expect a rookie like Benintendi to carry a club. So there are some serious problems here. But I think we're all looking at third base, aren't we? Where you've got, Brock Holt, Devin Marrero, the kid from Taiwan, Lin Sanity, who's now back in Pawtucket. I don't think you're going to win or be able to win with that at third base. And Dave Dombrowski is normally one to act and not react, and I think he's going to do something soon. I think they have to.
I would think so.
If it's Todd Frazier or somebody like that, at least he can hit the ball out of the ballpark once in a while.
There was talk about Martin Prado. He's gone on the DL. And then over the weekend, talk about Miguel Cabrera. I say a hearty no thank you to that one. How about you?
Well, he's obviously having a down year, but you're looking at, 7 years left on that contract?
Yeah.
And close to $200 million. Don't like his body type. Don't think that's going to last long. So I think that was a creation of Alex Rodriguez's mind and nobody else's. Nobody else is talking about it. But, I think they've got to do something, and I'm sure Dombrowski... The phone lines are burning up. There's Frazier, there's Dave Robertson in Chicago. That would be a good package. And I think you get Frazier relatively cheap. I think Robertson would cost more, but I think he'll do something. I mean, his track record, Rich, you know what it is. I mean, he doesn't sit on his hands. I think he realizes that if this ball club had, any kind of production from third base and from designated hitters, they might be 7 or 8 games in front, and the only reason that this is a race is because, unbelievable as it may be, we have a Red Sox team that can pitch, but they can't hit.
Yeah, and one of those guys who's been pitching pretty well lately, I think we can safely conclude that he's not a good match for Boston, and yet he's pitching pretty well lately, and that's David Price, the $30 million man.
Yeah, the big rabbit-eared baby, but he sure pitched his behind off the other night against the Yankees, and if that's the David Price we're going to get for the rest of the year, then, that's not a problem. He can pop off against Eck or anybody else all he wants to. I think the mantra for all of us has been, shut up and pitch. But if you pitch well, and even if you misbehave, we don't care. I don't care. I don't need to know David Price. I don't need to like David Price. I don't want to like David. And I don't like David Price personally, and I've never met the man. But I think he's a giant baby, but I don't care if he's a giant baby if he gets people out. And that's what he seems to not understand. We just want him to pitch well. We don't, you know, he was complaining not long ago about, you know, we don't know who he is. And, you know, I don't care who he is. I don't want to care. I don't care about his dog or anything else. And you are what you are, David. You're a commodity. You are a valuable piece of property, and we want you to perform. Beyond that, I don't care, and I don't care if he cares or doesn't care. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you think you did. And I appreciate you cleaning it up and calling him a baby as opposed to what you usually call him on social media.
Yes, there's another word for that we won't mention. Because, Rick, I know that you run a family show.
Oh, yeah. It's a dysfunctional family show, but still...
You put the fun in dysfunction.
I do. So Yankees have put Pineda on the DL. He's done for the year. They've had their share of injuries. Great first half from the young guys. But are they a real threat? And is anybody in the East a threat to this Red Sox team?
Well, obviously, you're looking at a bunch of, you know, every team in the division is as flawed as they can be. We know the Red Sox flaws. I think we saw the Yankees flaws over the weekend. They got some bullpen issues. Their closer, Chapman, looks like maybe that World Series wore him out a little bit. Betances seemed to clean his act up a little more over the weekend and get some people out. And they, you know, they've got Warren out there. They've got Chad Green, who was very effective over the weekend. But, you know, beyond that, their starting rotation, I don't think you can expect CC Sabathia to carry you. Tanaka didn't pitch badly in the Sunday night game against the Red Sox. So one mistake there to Mookie, and that was it. But he's been so up and down. I'd ride Tampa as long as anybody. They've got decent pitching, and they can hit the hell out of the ball, hitting it out of the ballpark. And as we've seen this year with the Red Sox, if you have any kind of power, you get a shot at this. I think beyond that, Toronto's way too flawed. Baltimore, I think, has fallen out of it. And I think they'll be also Rans, and probably Dan Duquette's going to start selling people off here in the second half. So, the division's up for grabs. Are the Red Sox... are they in position to take this? Yes, they are. I think if Dombrowski goes out and does something here, the starting rotation is good enough to get them through. But, man, you know, what was the stat I saw the other day? If they score more than four runs a game, they're unbeatable this year, basically. And if you look at some of the games that Chris Sale has lost... Mm. The 16-inning game we watched, everybody, that was my actual birthday, and I spent most of my time in a restaurant trying to wish a Red Sox. You'd think the least they could do was win on my 57th birthday, but no. And Sales lost how many other games? 1-0, the Philly game I remember, a couple of 2-1 games. And these are games that, you know, you sit back and you think, my goodness, it's inexcusable to lose a pitching performance like that. And the guy should have 15, 16, 17 wins. And instead, he's got, what, 11 or 12?
Yeah, and what's the stat? I think I heard on Porcello the other night, I believe it was the eighth time this year that the Sox didn't score in one of his starts.
Yeah, I mean, look, he was obviously horrible for the first at least 2.5 months. He's been better, although not, you know, this has got to be one of the most disappointing post-Cy Young follow-up seasons ever. He's got, what, 12 losses now? And he's got, he's got a chance to lose 15 ball games, but he's certainly been better. He's been keeping them in their ball games and pitching well enough to if they would hit just a little bit, as my father would say, just give me a little single, just a little single, and they can't do it. And it's really cost them. And instead of, you know, having the 2-game or whatever lead they have now over Tampa, they could be up 5, 6, or 7 games. And I think that's going to be the impetus for Dombrowski. Look, we're not telling him something he doesn't know. He knows he's got a flawed ball club, and I'm sure he's trying to keep the cost down because, obviously, Devers is going nowhere. You're going to keep him in the bucket and maybe have him up playing third base by the time it's over. I wouldn't rule that out. He's been impressive enough. I saw him about 4 or 5 times here in Portland, and that's a big league ball player. He may be 20, but he carries himself like a big league ball player. He handles the bat extraordinarily well. He's got a terrific eye. And I thought in the games that I saw here, and I know he made a great play at Pawtucket the other night, a great barehanded play. He looked like a decent third baseman to me. So I'll tell you, Rich, it wouldn't shock me to see him up here by the middle of August.
Mike Violet with us here on Downtown. Paul Pierce has signed a one-day contract so he could retire as a Boston Celtic. Where do you put him in the rich history of Celtic players?
Top 10, for sure. You know, I mean, there's the usual suspects you're going to have up there. Russell, Cousy, Bird, McHale, maybe, John Havlicek, obviously. You could make a case that maybe Paul Pierce is the best pure scorer that's ever worn a Celtics uniform. But he certainly is top 10. Obviously, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And, you know, we've seen a lot of this happen here in sports where they sign these one-day deals, and I'm glad that it happened. He should be a Celtic. Danny, obviously, in trading him, rebuilt the franchise on his back and Kevin Garnett's back, and Jason Terry, I might add, in getting all those picks from the Nets. So, you know, I dealing him was the right thing to do. But, yeah, certainly, Rich, he's a top 10 Celtic, and I think you can make a case maybe he's top 7, maybe top 6, depending on who you want to throw out of there.
Young Lonzo Ball had a great summer league. Are you able, as a basketball fan, to separate his obvious talent from the idiocy of his dad?
It's really hard to do, isn't it? I mean, the old man is so unlikable and such a jerk. And the kid seems completely the opposite of that. He appears, you know, the father makes him very uncomfortable. And I don't know. I think the kid, his tools as a player, I don't think you can question those. But I have to think that at some point, if the old man doesn't back off a little bit, that this is going to affect things by the things he says, the effect that that's going to have on potential teammates down the line. Because, you know, look, he's going to make the Lakers better next year, but how much better is that? Are they going to win 25 games or 30 games? I don't know. The West, we all know the West is where, you know, all the talent lies, obviously with Golden State, San Antonio, and you know, all the other talent out there, even the Clippers. Phoenix should be better. I actually feel really bad for the kid. And we've all seen at a Little League game or a Pop Warner game, we've all seen that mother or father who can't shut their mouth and how it affects the kids. And I think that at some point this is going to have an impact on the rest of the team. That's what I would worry about if I were Magic Johnson. But you know what? I don't know how you break this guy down. If Magic Johnson can't figure out a way to handle this, this could be a problem.
Patriots are getting ready to open up camp next week. And, you know, most years you look at the schedule and go, well, 12 wins, 13, 14 if they do it upright. With the offseason that this team has had, I get the feeling like fans may not be happy with anything shy of another 16-0 run.
I think you're right. Julian Edelman has been talking here lately about how the 19-0 stuff is ridiculous. I actually don't think it is. This team is so talented and has so many, many good players at virtually every position. The latest being, you know, David Harris being brought in. I honestly, and I'm certainly as pragmatic as anybody else, but I cannot see them, if you look at the schedule, how they lose a game. I mean, who are they going to lose to?
No, I agree. They're absolutely loaded.
You know, I'll tell you this. Here's what I do think, and it's been interesting to see how people think about this. I think Atlanta's headed for a 5-11 season. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think the Patriots really did them in.
I think so too. It's one of those. Well, how do you recover from that? I don't think you do.
I don't think you do either. And I think it's an immeasurable thing. And it's an intangible that stays with you, and it's always on your mind. And 28-3 is going to live forever, and I think they're going to have serious trouble. But you know, this Patriot team, there isn't a flaw anywhere. Everything that they have, all the players that they have, are so good, and I think so much better. And Brady's got new toys to play with. He's got another tight end in Allen. He's got Brandon Cooks, who I think is going to be a real difference maker in this offense. They won a Super Bowl without Rob Gronkowski playing, and he's back too. I think 19-0 is definitely in play, and I'd actually be surprised if they don't run the table.
So I'm reading my main Sunday Telegram that I get home delivered every single Sunday a couple of weeks ago. Big article about the morning show down there. And look, I have to ask, I'm doing my due diligence. Are the radio folks down there just waving stacks of cash in your direction to get you to come back?
If I answered that honestly, Rich, I'd have to kill you.
Yeah, okay, I don't want to know.
But I did get obviously you know, that got me a lot of, you know, publicity, free publicity, and you know, it's nice to hear from people. It's good to be missed, I guess. I certainly missed doing that show. I had a great time and a great run with Ken Altschuler for all those years, and you know, when you look at my career, I've worked with about 35 years, and in those 35 years of doing morning shows, I've had two partners, and I love both of them. And Eric Leinbach before that, my old boy from Waterville, and Ken, of course, and we had a great run. So I've been very fortunate. All I'll say is this, people are talking, and I'm listening.
Well, and is the key, and it seemed to hint at this in the article, and I know this about you, that you and I are pretty far apart politically, and yet I've always found you to be somebody who keeps his humor, keeps his wits, and doesn't take any of it personally, and doesn't intend any of it to be personal.
No, you know, my philosophy, and I never got into this business to be, you know, any kind of political talk show host. I mean, I always just want, you know, just give me a basketball game to broadcast or a baseball game, and I was happy. I did all the rest of it because, as you know, Rich, in order to work in this business full-time in this state, you have to sort of broaden your horizons and do a lot of things. So I took on a morning show and, you know, was that, you know, was the, you know, the loudmouth morning show guy. And then, you know, 15 or 20 years ago, they came to me and said, you know, I have good news and bad news. We had a national consultant come in and say, I have good news and bad news. The bad news is you guys talk too much. The good news is we're going to put you in a talk format. And I had never even thought about it before. And so that's when I sort of, you know, became the, you know, the resident right-wing nut. But I think my background as being, you know, host of a regular, you know, morning show that played music and was that kind of thing, was helpful to me, because you can't take this stuff too seriously. And certainly Ken and I, when we were doing the show here on WGAN, if you couldn't do it with humor and good cheer, I mean, I always, you know, I've always said I'm a jerk, but I'm a likable jerk. I think even people on the left like me, even though you like me, Rich. And again, we could, you know, we couldn't be further apart. But I think there's a way to do it, and I don't want to be disliked. I don't mind being disliked, but I don't necessarily want to be that. And so I think you have to present it in a way that's appealing to those people who you don't agree with, that they listen to the show and like what you say, even though they don't agree with it. And there's a way to do it. And Ken and I always had an agreement, and that was we would never go to a commercial break mad at each other. We would always make up and laugh before it was over with, and I think it served us well. And it appears to me that may be the problem that they're having down here at the moment.
Well, it's a treat for us. We always love having you on the show, Mike. It's great to talk with you again. You're our favorite right wing. I'll say nut. Yeah, you're our favorite right wing nut.
Ah, Rich, that's so sweet.
And I hope I'm your favorite bleeding heart liberal.
You are, man. I love you guys, and I love you, and I'm happy to come on your show any damn time you want.
All right. Thank you, Mike, as always. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Rich. Take care.
That's Mike Violet here on Downtown.